I don't know about you, but December is always a joyous month for me, especially as I have greater opportunities to speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever I am, whether I'm filling petrol or paying a bill or going to the post office, wherever, people seem to be at more readiness to accept a little tract, basically about Christmas, saying Merry Christmas. They take it to be a card or something like that, but communicate the gospel message to them. And I think as Christians, we ought to use that opportunity. We ought to truly tell of our wonderful Savior. I know that people around say, happy holidays, and they really don't even want to think about Christmas. But if you even think of holidays, you know, it's really a shortened word for holy days. And, you know, they are holy days because we remember the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but, you know, we have so much to be thankful, especially in our life as we live here in Australia. I've just returned back from an overseas trip, and I saw some things that I can't even, you know, describe them to you as to how people are living in other parts of the world today. I was in Lebanon, and in Lebanon there is at least about 1.5 to 2 million refugees that have gone from Syria to Lebanon that today are actually living in tents made up of nothing but plastic and a few sticks. And as I hear the news after I left, they had a storm, a snowstorm that has swept across all of the Middle East, all the way from Turkey down to Israel, even into Saudi Arabia. And it's dumped snow everywhere. And children that are 3 months and below are just dying. And I'll tell you the honest truth. We have so much to be thankful for in this country. We are so rich. So if you think that you don't have money, that you are maybe suffering because you don't have a job, or hey, you are blessed beyond control when you start to, you know, imagine some of the things that people are suffering from in other parts of the world. And, you know, especially sometimes Christians that are living in these areas, I don't know what's going on in Satan's plan and how things are going, but I know that God is in control, and I know God is still on the throne. And, you know, even though many people who even name the name of Christ are suffering because even they just have the name of Christ on them, even nominal Christians, they're suffering. But even more so those that are just, you know, bold in their witness for Christ. But I tell you one thing, I praise the Lord for the many hundreds, and even dare say to say thousands of Muslims that are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As the Christians are rising up and, you know, truly, you know, being bold about their witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I just want to ask you to pray. Pray for the whole thing. And pray also as we think about the first advent and the first coming of Christ. You know, I don't know about you. I can't think about Christmas without thinking about the second coming of Christ. Amen? Because the first coming is just the deposit. It's like when you go to buy a car. You actually go there and you like the car and you just say, yes, I want it. I'm coming back to get it. Here's a deposit. I'm coming back. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ had done in the first coming. He's come so that he would redeem us. And you know what? He has done that, but that redemption is not yet complete if we would just truly technically speak about it. Because yes, we have our sins forgiven and we know that we are on the way to heaven. But you know what? The redemption is not going to be complete until one day the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. As Paul the Apostle says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we wait a Savior. Hang on, Paul. What do you mean you wait for a Savior? I thought the Savior has already come. He said, yeah. He has already come, and he's already saved the spirit part of me. But what I'm talking about, one day he's also going to change this body.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to complete that salvation or redemption to even redeem this body. And one day this body is not going to know tears or sickness or sorrow or any of these things, but one day we're going to be entering the joy of the Lord, and this mortal is going to put on immortality, and those that have died in Christ, that corruptible will put on incorruption, and then shall be that word, you know, O death, where is thy sting? Praise God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord today. As we think upon all of these things, we ought to really thank God and give Him the glory for His unspeakable gift. If you have your Bibles, please open with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is where your verse is taken from, the theme verse. And I'd just really like to read just the last few verses of that chapter. But I'd really like to refer to the whole chapter as I speak this morning in these devotionals about giving God the glory and thanking Him for His unspeakable gift. If you wouldn't mind, would you rise to the reading for the last few verses there? I'm going to read from verse 9. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that you truly challenge our hearts. Lord, help us this morning that we just lift our eyes unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Teach us, Lord, how to only keep glorifying you in our lives as we live our sojourning in this side of heaven. Lord, we know that everything on this side is temporary. And Lord, we know that one day you are coming and coming soon. And we would say with the Spirit, even so, Lord Jesus, come again. Help us, Lord, to always, every day, live our lives with thanksgiving for that indescribable gift, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that came into this world, born in Bethlehem in a manger, left the glories of His Father, and came knowing that He was going to die the most cruelest, the most gruesome, ugly form of death on Calvary's cross for our sins. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of our sins, and thank you for you approved of Him through raising Him from the dead. And today we can truly say we've been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that you would uplift our hearts as saints and teach us how to continually give thanks unto you. And for anyone here, Lord, that is still unsure about his eternal destiny, may you truly help him to see that unspeakable gift and receive Christ, whom to receive is to also receive eternal life and a home in heaven. Father, we pray these things for your glory, and through the Spirit we give you all things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Paul the Apostle is teaching here that the Christian ought to be thankful all the time. I praise the Lord for those that have tried in history to always establish a day of thanksgiving. I praise the Lord for John Howard, who tried to establish a day of thanksgiving in Australia in the around the month of May. People in America celebrate Thanksgiving in November. But, you know, the truth is, as Christians, we ought to have thanksgiving in our life continually. Not just on Sundays when we come to the Lord, as we've heard from Pastor Charlie when he said, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We ought to. Paul always challenged the Christians to give thanks continually unto the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ also taught us to continue to always express our gratitude unto God. David of old said in Psalm 103 these beautiful words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And you and I have every cause this morning to come into his presence, and every morning to come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. Now, the foundation of our thanksgiving, as Paul the Apostle says to us here, that thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, I'm glad this morning that Pastor Charlie got us to count some of our blessings. But the truth is, you know, the very first thing that we ought to thank God for is his unspeakable gift. Paul the Apostle in this place, when he tried to tell us what he wants to thank the Lord for, you know, he started to think of many things, but then he came to the gift of Jesus Christ. And then he said, Jesus is so good a gift, so great a gift, so wonderful a gift. And the reality is, if I was to describe to you what this gift is all about, I don't know what word to use. So I'm just going to use, this is an indescribable gift. This is an unspeakable gift. You know, if you are saved today, can I just say to you, you need no reason beyond the reason of salvation to continue to praise the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we fall into this trap. When we start looking around us and we start seeing other people and what they have and all that, and then we just all of a sudden become with a spirit of, you know, ingratitude. You know, almost like, don't we, you know, Lord, how come you give him and don't give me? You know, and that can go for anything. Listen, God's plan for you is for you specifically. God hasn't planned for you what he's planned for him or for her or for me. For each one of us, God has a perfect plan. And we ought to accept whatever God has given us. And sometimes, you know, we can get into stuck in the rut to where we actually see something and we want it. And sometimes it's not a bad thing. You know, I can give you an example of my own life. My wife and I didn't have any children. There were some stage in our life where we actually said, how come God never gave us any children? And it even came to a point to sometimes you even think things like this. How come someone who is just living in sin out there can have children and I can't have children? And we even came to a point to where we wanted to adopt and we went, you know, and worked all plans, and then at the last minute, things didn't work out. Only to come to the point of realization that the Lord maybe has a different plan for my wife and I. And we ought to thank God anyway. Whether we do have or don't have, we ought to thank the Lord. And the truth is, we really need to always be thankful unto the Lord. And if you and I are Christians this morning, and I trust most people here are, we need no further thing. We need to think no farther at all than the Lord Jesus Christ to truly give thanks and rejoice and praise and worship God. Your life might be in turmoil today. You might be going through some time of financial trouble or emotional trouble or maybe some physical trouble. I don't know what you're going through, but I know each and every one of us at some stage is going to go through some storm. But when you're in the midst of the storm, you might look around you and find little reason to thank the Lord for. But if you will just take a moment to lift your eyes up, lift your heart up, and consider who you are and all that you have in Christ Jesus, you will soon find that you possess ample reasons to thank the Lord and to worship him. The truth is, the foundation of our thanksgiving, the foundation of God glorifying God in our life, we really need to remember it's the gift that is being given to us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know,
When the Bible speaks about Christ coming in Christmas, we know that the angel came unto Joseph and said unto Joseph, when he was afraid to take Mary to be his own wife, because at that time he was only espoused unto her. And because he was espoused unto her and she was found to be pregnant, being a just man, he wanted to do what's right. And according to Jewish law and according to Jewish tradition, at that time he was allowed to divorce her. You say, but they weren't married. You really need to understand something. At that time, they had the legal document already written up. And he was already called her man, and she was already called his wife, but they had not yet consummated that marriage. And if she was to be found pregnant that time, that is the only time that he was allowed to divorce her. And being a just man, he was going to do it privately. He didn't want to make the thing public. He didn't want to do anything to where he would hurt her or to hurt the baby. And therefore, he wanted to do things in a very private way. And all of a sudden, that day, the angel appeared unto Joseph and said, Joseph, fear not to take Mary to be your wife. For he that is conceived through her is through the Holy Spirit. And now she, and then the Bible says that the angel said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Oh yes, he became a slave so that you and I may become children. As Philippians 2 tells us, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, or the form of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, he became poor, that you and I might become rich. According to 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. If we would take a moment this morning, as Pastor Charlie taught us this morning, for the things that we ought to thank God, we could really think of many things. And I think you touched on most of these things. But can I just say, we ought first to really thank God for the forgiveness of our sins. In Psalm 103 in verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, and they shall never, the twain shall never meet. So has God removed our sin, our transgressions from us. Yes, because in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Yes, we have everlasting life through him. And the Bible tells us, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had already said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You either believe it or don't believe it. John 5:24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall no more come into condemnation, but have passed from death unto life. What a glorious gift we have in him. Not only that, but he's also adopted us and made us his own children. Romans 8:15 says, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Where we cry unto the Lord God, Lord, you're my Father. And that's how he taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Yes. No, he's not the father of everyone. He's the father of them whom he had begotten through his spirit. The Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to them that received him gave he power to become the children of God, those that believe on his name. Yes, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we would, or that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. I think we have so much to be really thankful for. And I can continue on and on and on of a home in heaven, an abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That said in Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Amen. Of his perfect promises to us, as it's already been pointed out to us, his blessed book, the Bible. I don't know where we'd be without the promises of God. The Bible tells us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. For all, in 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. I could go on and on and on and tell you about his precious world, his precious word and his glorious church, his own people. But this morning, can I just say, there are ample reasons that we can truly think of to continue to always give thanks. And the Bible tells us that we ought to continue to give thanks. Just take three verses to remind you of that. We ought to always give thanks. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's one. And then in Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Philippians 4:6, we all know that and hopefully memorized it by heart. Be careful for nothing but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So that's the foundation of our thanksgiving. That's the foundation of how we ought to remember to always praise God. Not because just simply he blesses me, not just because of all these things, but the very first thing is because of his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. This Christmas, as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ, let's just not think about this Christmas in the worldly way. Let's really think about that great gift that God has given us. That wonderful gift, that amazing gift. It's unspeakable, indescribable. I can't even, if Paul the Apostle couldn't describe it, I certainly can't describe it to you. And this is where I just like to say to anyone here who has not yet received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, no matter how much I truly tell you, no matter how much I might tell you of my experience and other people's experience of Christ, I tell you one thing. You'll never know the sweetness of Jesus Christ until you have come to experience him yourself. You know, it's almost like this. If I actually tasted something so nice and so good, I can try to describe it to you, but you cannot taste it until you really go and eat from it. I can try to describe it with the best words possible, but your taste buds is not going to experience it until you do it yourself. And in the same way, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, I can tell you all about it, and I can tell you, and I trust God that you would also receive the word of God, but until you come to experience Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you'll never really know what I'm talking about as to how we ought to thank God for him. Paul the Apostle goes on to say, as we thank, let's not only see the foundation of thanksgiving, but let's see whom or the focus of our thanksgiving. Paul takes us back to God as we see. He goes, thanks be unto God. As he begins to write, he actually tells us that God is the one who devised the plan that brought Jesus Christ into this world. You know, many times we actually think about the way that we came to be saved. And let me just say this morning, you know, salvation is of the Lord. And can I just say, God's will in salvation is never, you know, contradicted in Scripture. Some people like to always say, you know, it is God who's chose us, and I don't deny that. God is the one who's chose us. Okay? Sometimes we go that we say we predestinated and foreordained and all that. And absolutely, I will never ever dispute any of these words because they are biblical words. But let me just say, a biblical system is always right, but a theological system will only help you to understand something, but it's never going to be perfect. The Bible is always right. And in order for me to understand that salvation is from the Lord, I need to understand, yes, it is God who devised this plan. It is God who did the choosing. But at the same time, God would never contravene His own will. And His own will is that He has given you and me a free will, and we need to exercise it. It is God who gave His Son, and without giving His Son, there is no salvation. It is God who planned this, and without Him, there is no salvation. It is God who knew and foreordained everything, and without Him, there is no salvation. It is God who gave, but at the same time, the Bible says that whosoever will. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever will shall not perish but have everlasting. Whosoever will, whosoever believeth. The Bible says that the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that want to drink of the word, to drink of the water of life freely, let him come. And whosoever will. God would never contravene something that He's already given. Yes, God is the one who loved us when we were absolutely unlovable. When we were yet in trespasses and sins, dead in our sins and trespasses. Yes, God lifted us up. He called us. He said, if I'll be lifted up, I will call all men unto me. And the truth is, God is calling you this morning. And He loves you. And the truth is, He proved His love towards you in that He sent His only Son. God is the one who convicts our hearts. And your presence here this morning is not a coincidence. It's because God loves you. He's given you a chance after a chance after a chance. Somebody called you and invited you to church. Somebody might have at some stage invited you and brought you to Sunday school when you were a kid. Somebody at some stage gave you a tract and said, please read this because it's got some good news in it. Somebody has been praying for you, and God is acting through His Holy Spirit, giving you a chance after chance after chance because He loves you. I thank God that He loved me. And the truth is, I tell you the honest truth, when I actually look at myself in the mirror, and when I truly see myself as I really am, I tell you the honest truth, I cannot love myself. I wonder how anyone, you might say, oh, Pastor, you're so always smiling, you're just, you know, always so good. And, you know, let me just say, you don't know me. I tell you the honest truth, I do not deserve any man's love. I don't deserve my wife's love. And most importantly, I do not deserve God's love. But I thank Him for His amazing grace. What amazing grace. Paul the Apostle says, I am what I am, but by the grace of God. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I praise God for the amazing grace that He showed me. He's been so good to me. And the truth is, He's been so good to you. He's been so good to all of us here. We owe Him perfect thanksgiving. We owe Him to return all praise and all worship because He's worthy of all that. That's why every day of our life we should truly think, and our thinking should always revolve around giving thanks to the one who has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. That's why I say to you, this season of December, whether it actually starts with these holidays, and as I said, there are holy days, we ought not to think of just the days of Christmas and New Year as days of celebration and giving gifts and having lots of food and having lovely time with families and, you know, decorations and all that. And I'm not against that. Please don't go and just say, Pastor, you know, Zaydan didn't say you can't have any of that. No, you can enjoy it. But I just say, the focus of all of this ought to be revolving around, centering around the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The unspeakable gift. And I just say, when Paul the Apostle was speaking like that, he was actually talking about something that many of us, you know, don't really like to talk about. And, you know, when we put the context, when we put the verse back in the context, we might actually say, oh, really? Is that what he's talking about? The truth is, when we say, give God the glory, Paul the Apostle was actually saying, you need to really give God the glory through thanksgiving. And thanksgiving can be expressed, yes, by our words of praise, by our worship, as we sing unto the Lord. And praise the Lord for the singing here. Praise the Lord for, you know, I don't know about you, but the special really spoke to my heart this morning. And I really said, Lord, thank you. We ought to really think upon the words that we sing. That's part of our worship. Sometimes we know the song so well that we actually just repeat it without even thinking on the words. No, let's just think upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be thankful as we worship Him. But this new year, this Christmas, it should really not be only a time of celebration and fireworks and food. It should be a day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. It should be a day of fresh and renewed commitment to honor the one who gave us everything to redeem us. Do you have plans this Christmas to truly thank Him for His blessings? Do you have plans this Christmas with your family to sit down and truly thank the Lord Jesus Christ for His unspeakable gift? Do you have plans to maybe on New Year's Day stand up and publicly say a word of testimony to honor and glorify God of His work in your life, on how He's really helped you to advance in your faith and in loving the Lord and in serving Him? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I think we ought to have that plan. But more importantly, in putting the verse back in the context, I believe Paul the Apostle, when he was saying that, he was actually talking about giving. Go back with me to the very beginning of this chapter. And I just want to read the first five verses. And, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But I want to see with you not only the foundation of our giving and the focus of our giving, but I want to also see the fruit of our giving. And the fruit of our giving glory to God ought to be fruits that truly are seen. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told us not to judge people. But on the other hand, He said, from their fruits you shall know them. Amen? So, when I judge, I ought not to judge what I cannot see. I cannot judge the intents of the heart of a man. I cannot see that. And when I judge, I always need to remember, before I judge, I need to judge myself. And remember that it's quite okay if I do it, having gone through and removed the beam out of my own eye, so I can see well enough to remove the speck out of my own brother's or sister's eye. Amen? So only those who've been really well trained in judging themselves are the ones that are going to be able to help others too. Okay? But there's one thing that